Wednesday, January 11th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. When it looks like there could be a regional war in the Mideast in the offing, why would oil prices fall? First off, likely the only power there that could cut off the Gulf of Hormuz is the Saudis. The Iranians could harass and mine the strait and shoot dumb missiles at tankers, missing them, but they would block their own oil from leaving the Gulf, which the Saudis would not see as such a bad thing. The Saudis are not dependent on Gulf transit to move their oil, having built strategic pipelines that bypass the strait in the Gulf, as well as a major pipeline moving oil west across the country to the Red Sea. Saudi oil movement would be moderately restricted, which they would make up for in price, while Qatar and Iran would be really screwed. The Kuwaitis are nervous, not jumping either way yet. The Iranians cannot defend their own island terminal in the Gulf. Short of war, or the OPEC and partner supply management will break down. The whole point of the Saudi-engineered gas war that preceded recent efforts to moderate Gulf oil production was to break Iran. Financial stress in the Mideast is going to become progressively intolerable, and the cost of the wars and infighting is escalating to a level that will soon break down the cartel into an every-man-for-himself interest in increasing cash. The real gas war is not over with yet. The United States has already won in terms of both energy independence and security, as shale oil technology and American ingenuity has lowered the cost of U.S. oil and gas production to be able to compete with conventional oil production economics. U.S. crude oil and gasoline stocks both rose by 3.3 million barrels last week, which was the opposite of trade expectations. Distillate diesel fuel stocks rose by 4.4 million barrels. The Saudis and the U.S. are positioned to stress Iran. It was no coincidence that the Saudis' commercial war on Qatar happened shortly after Donald's visit there, or that Donald has sided with the Saudis despite the major U.S. military base in Qatar. On grains, temperatures are forecast to get hot this weekend before cooling off. The 11 to 15 day forecast does show relief. Some rain is forecast for the dry Dakotas, but not the soaking rain that they would need to alleviate the moderate drought conditions there. Crop condition in this region will deteriorate for next week's condition ratings. It is too early in the season for this to have much more than a sympathetic impact on soybeans. Wheat has already responded. The corn market is following. Wherever they have adequate soil moisture reserves, warm temperatures will just root down crops and grow corn. If we have to have temps in the 90s, this is the time for that relative to a month from now. I've no problem with the corn market breaking out to the upside. I doubt that the price yet interests farmers, and if they have stored this long, they have something higher in mind. At the same time, farmers are heavily long corn between old crop repurchase contracts and new crop that they've seen little forward contracted yet. Brazilian farmers have a lot of corn to sell yet, too. It appears that the short funds have a decision to make. Do they stay or do they go? You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. This next weekend is lighting up on the calendar pretty close to last year, when on a Friday temperatures topped 100 degrees in Nebraska and the market topped. A high of 103 degrees is forecast for eastern South Dakota Saturday. How much rain they get and what the forecast is next Monday will determine if this is deja vu. Last year we had more corn acres, but the South American corn crop was under major stress. Of course, last year the weather moderated in July and the rest of the growing season worked out quite well. On the cattle, they got the volatility going again as futures match previous highs. Losses still don't align the basis. How does the cattle bull unwind? First to happen would be for the beef market to price itself out of the market. I've been surprised that beef demand has held up as strong as it has been getting some help from exports. It has not hurt to see the dollar sell back off. The dollar has been declining from the December high even as beef prices climbed, offsetting some of the price appreciation to foreign buyers. The CME Group economists reported that forward beef sales are now declining, so retailers are showing reluctance to lock up inventories at these prices. The choice select beef spread should be near an extreme. Next, that would have to happen is for packer margins to deflate and go red. As long as they've been able to sell beef, they have kept killing cattle at a speed that depleted the front-end supply. If packers slow the kill, then the demand for cattle slows and days on feed will then lengthen. Cattle will start to get heavier again. The shortage of choice beef would abate. The feeder cattle cash index has now climbed above 2016 feeder cattle prices. One of the sustaining factors for the bull market was the price of feeders relative to fats. Feedlots could sell fats and replace feeders at favorable break-evens. The discount structure in the futures market will continue to incentivize feedlots to sell today to avoid lower prices later. It will take some time for the bull market to unwind. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.